Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallitz Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallitz, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service. Or maybe you'd like to come join us at 7 p.m. every Wednesday for our weekly Bible study. Here at Rallitz, we're just simply a little country church. We want to extend the love of Jesus Christ with a missionary heart, and we're dedicated to sharing that love of Christ in practice and not only in word. And so we just want you to feel free to come visit us. And if not, if you've got a church home, you need to attend there this Sunday. And if you don't have a church home, I want you to go somewhere where you can do more than simply be a pew taker upper space. Be an individual that's involved in your church. Find out what God's role for you in that church is, and pursue it with all your might. Pursue it with all your might. A couple of announcements as far as things coming up here at Rallitz. I want to keep you in mind for our Easter sunrise service. Easter's later this year. It'll be April 24th, but we'll be having a sunrise service at 6 a.m. on April 24th, and we'll be presenting a musical there called Blessed Redeemer, and we'll be having a country ham breakfast following the service, and you're invited. You're invited to come be with us during that, so keep that in mind as well. Now, we want to also wish happy birthday to a couple of just super, super young guys. Happy birthday to Mr. Steve Rich. We love Steve very much. Steve is a fine, fine feller. And if you see him out, please be sure and aggravate him and try to give him a hard time. And also Mr. Warren Johnson. Warren, happy birthday on Wednesday the 30th. So Steve celebrating his birthday Monday the 28th. Warren celebrating his birthday Wednesday the 30th. I want to share with you, if I can, just a little bit. If you're where you can, I'd ask that you just turn in your Bible over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and share a little bit about what we talked on last Sunday at Rallitz during our 11 a.m. service. I felt like God really helped us to see some things in the Scripture. You know, folks, we underestimate at times the fact that the Holy Spirit is our greatest teacher. We flock to individuals who have an ability to be able to speak in just a way that is magnetic, or a way that just shows a certain style that we like. And so often Christians get caught up on this bandwagon of following one teacher or one speaker just because we're so enamored with the way they speak or the way they teach. And I want to remind you, if you're looking for good teaching, if you're looking for good, solid, biblical, truthful teaching, go no further than your knees. And fall to your knees and ask the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to teach you what His Word has to say. And folks, God will teach you. The Bible outlines itself, and the Bible will show you things. When you get to a verse that you feel like is difficult, you just simply take that verse and look at it through a reflection of the verses that you can understand, and the Bible will shed light upon itself. And so never overestimate the ability of man, and never underestimate the ability of the Holy Spirit to teach you and show you some mighty things from God's Word. Now, I'm going to do this a little differently today. I'm going to wait and share the verses with you toward the end of the message. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. 34 through 43. Because I feel like it's important that we build up to this wonderful sermon. It's going to be a sermon, just a short, concise sermon by Peter the Apostle. Now, Peter is a man that you know, much like many of us. He had his ups and his downs. Oftentimes, I've heard it said he had a foot-shaped mouth because he kept his foot in his mouth so many times that throughout his life and throughout working, Jesus working with him and trying to shape him and mold him and show him the man he should be. And Peter, I think many of us can connect with him because he's so much like us. And we find ourselves just being belligerent and loud and sometimes thinking and not thinking before we speak. That's the kind of guy Peter was. And it's important that we understand that. The Bible does not hide the flaws of its greatest characters. We would be undone if we opened up God's holy word and all we saw in it was a bunch of Josephs and men who had never done anything wrong, men who had lived perfect lives, men who had always let the Lord lead them in every situation, and it would be hard. I tell you, I would open up a book like that and I would say, "Dear Lord, I just don't know that I can ever do this. I don't know that it's possible for me to be able to live this life that's presented here that these men are accomplishing." But thanks be to God, our holy Redeemer, that He's always used men and women who were not perfect. Men and women who were incapable of achieving any greatness on their own. They didn't have anything to stand upon. They brought nothing to the table. And friends, today you and I, in our meagerness, in our humbleness, if we will simply admit that we bring nothing to the table, Jesus does not want you at the height of your strength because you'll depend too much upon yourself. He's looking for those who are weak. He's looking for those who can give Him the maximum glory, because when God can take some individual that's weak and lowly and meek and without any outstanding attributes of their own, and He can do a mighty power through them, it glorifies God. It raises Him up. Because then the world can say, "There's no way Dwayne Cook could do anything on his own. It had to be God. It had to be God." And so you're bringing more glory to the Father. And folks, that's what it's all about. It's about bringing glory to God, not ourselves. You and I, friends, we're nothing. We have nothing but total depravity in our hearts and in our minds. Man's natural inclination is not to the things of God. And I've had people share with me and say, "Brother Dwayne, I just feel like I've got a good heart, and I feel like if I just continue helping my neighbors and loving those around me, then I'll be okay." And that's so far from the truth. Plenty of good people have died and faced separation from God in a place called hell because they never acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not about works. It's not about whether you're good. It's not about whether you're bad. It's about what you decided on God's only Son. So Peter. Now, Acts chapter 10 gives one of the most monumental, historical, terrific, awesome, unbelievably important happenings in all of human history. Throughout the course of mankind, there's been few things that have impacted this world on an international level. Things that have moved the very course of humanity. Things that have had such an impact that they've been felt throughout every generation since it happened. I think about World War I, World War II, the Great Depression. Those are things that I know there's many other things that we could go back and decide on. I believe Martin Luther, when he posted his 95 thesis there on the wall of the church in Gutenberg, and I think that was a world-changing event. I think about these world-changing events, and Acts chapter 10 is one of them. It's when God clears the way for the gospel to no longer be presented only to the Israelite nation, but now God is beginning to open this thing up. He's beginning to move it in a direction where it'll incorporate the Gentile nations. And so he's going far beyond what people in that time would have said, "Well, God can only work through me because I'm a child of Abraham." But now we know that because of Acts chapter 10 and what's taking place right there, that that's not true any longer. That God came for every man. Whosoever incorporates all of us. So we see, I want you to notice an individual by the name of Cornelius. Now when you get into Acts chapter 10, you're going to meet an individual by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment in the Roman army. He would have been a man that was hated by the Jewish people because so often they were seen as the people who kept in force the occupying army of the Romans. But this man was a little different. Now do you know we often judge people based on what they do? But I find it interesting that throughout the New Testament you cannot find a Roman centurion that anything bad is said of. The Bible doesn't have any bad reports on any of these centurions. So folks, let's not be too quick to judge.
another individual based on what you might think from afar. Until you get to know that person, until you understand exactly what it is that they're facing, don't be so quick to judge. Now this man Cornelius that you meet in Acts chapter 10, the Bible says he was a devout man, that he was a man who feared God with all of his household. Now, do you know what that says about this man even before he knew Jesus? Even before he knew about this gospel, life-changing, it's more than life-changing. I don't have the words in which to put it, but it's just such a stupendous, marvelous happening. The Bible says this man, even before the Holy Spirit came upon him, was a just man, and he feared God with all of his household. It almost leads us to believe, no doubt, Cornelius was a man who was a man in his own home first. Do you know, listen to me, if you're a man, if you're a husband, if you're a leader in your home, God has called you to be the spiritual leader in that home. God is going to hold you responsible for how you led your house. Listen to me, I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking in ignorance here, because I was a man that at one time in my life would rather sit in the recliner on a Sunday morning and watch the football as I would to lead my family to the house of God. Now, friends, listen to me today. Men, you better wake up. You better realize one day, I do not want you to have to stand in judgment before God Almighty and say, you remember that day you heard old Dwayne on the radio and he told you that for the way you led your family, you were going to be held responsible? Well, that day has come. I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to take your wife and your children by the hand and say, this morning we're going to the house of God. We're going to start to serve God. We're going to start to do these things as the Bible says, and we're going to stand for truth. I want you to be a Cornelius in your home. I want you to be an individual that says, I'm going to have my whole house fear God. It's important. It's so much more important than you can ever understand right now. If you're walking in a position where you're not in the will of God, then I feel like you don't have the ability to really comprehend the great, marvelous plan that God has for you and your family's life. You're selling yourself short. You're holding your children hostage. You're putting your wife at bay, and you don't even understand. Wake up, man! Wake up! God made you in His image that you might serve Him and lead those around you closer to that God. Don't sell yourself short, and don't hold your family at ransom because of your inability to see the truth. Let me tell you this. I have never, ever seen one tombstone in any cemetery where it was engraved upon that old marble slab, I really regret taking my wife and family to church. You're not going to read it. It's not there. Oh, friend, lead your family. Now, Cornelius, I want you to see, this is the point of this message I'd like you to see with me this morning. The providence of God and God's total sovereignty. God's total sovereignty. God is in control of every situation. And I want you to watch how He uses these two men, Cornelius and Peter, in order to lay a foundation that you and I might be able to look back on today and say, thank you, Lord, for such a time that you and I might be able to be fed from these things. So Cornelius is praying. He's a praying man. And about the ninth hour of the day, he sees clearly in a vision while he's praying, not a dream, not some sort of psychotic mental break. It's a vision that God gives him. And the vision was an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius. And he was afraid. It scared him. And the angel says, now wait, your prayers and your alms, he was a man that tithed, have come up for a memorial before God. And the angel says, send men to Joppa for Simon, whose surname is Peter, the same Peter we're speaking of. He's lodging with another Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And then he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel had departed, Cornelius, he automatically began to follow God, and he sent two of his servants to that place that the angel had told him to go to. And listen, while that was going on, God was working something out over here. So God's got His hand over here in the heart of Cornelius. He's moving him. He's putting him in a position where he might be able to receive something of God. And the whole time over here, he's with Peter also, and he's begin moving, and he's begin doing things in Peter's life. I want to challenge you. Think back with me just for a moment. I want you to go back to the earliest memory that you can have in your entire life. Now for me, I would have been probably 4 or 5 years old. I can remember stepping out on the front porch of the place where we live back in Letcher County, Kentucky. And I can remember just being a little boy. It must have been something like spring. It must have been around this time of the year. All I can remember is stepping out. I remember not having on a shirt or shoes, a little old pair of shorts, and it was warm out. I can remember it being early in the morning, and I stepped out on that porch, and I grabbed the railing around that porch, and I sort of put my feet there on that railing and pulled myself up, and I can simply remember the feeling of life. I just remember being overwhelmed with the fact that I existed. My wife, her earliest memory that she says that she can remember, she's very adamant about the fact that she can remember her mother holding her and laying her down in a crib. And she can remember the sunlight shining through a window, and for some reason she distinctly remembers the wallpaper. The wallpaper on that wall. As her mother was laying her down and the sun shining on that wallpaper. Now, I'm not trying to get you to be nostalgic for no reason at all. If you can grasp that memory and think back as far in your life as you can, I want you to know something. God was right there. This God that I try to get people to believe in, that I try to get people to acknowledge, that I've spent the last 10 years of my life pouring everything I can into it. I'm doing what I can to try to help folks come to a knowledge of this God. This God was there in that memory with you. You've never been separated from Him. He's in every man's life. The Bible tells us every hop of the sparrow He knows. The hair on our head is numbered. He tells us in Jeremiah that in the womb I knew you. And so then I want to take you to a place even farther back, the very place where you were born. Many of you know you were maybe born in the home where you're living now. You may have been born in a hospital. You may have been born overseas, wherever it was. The very moment that you drew breath, the very moment that you were ushered into this world and you were separated from your mother's womb, mighty God was there. And His hand was upon you, and you cannot escape His will. He's providential. He's all-encompassing. And He's mightier than you could ever imagine. Do you realize that God's full strength has never been exerted in any way? That the power, the might of His strength, even the creation of the universe, was simply the fringe of His almighty power. There's never been a time in God's life where He said, "Whew! I just finished up making all these mountains and rivers and streams, and boy, am I tired." That's totally a wrong view of God. God has never had to exert all of His power. He's all power. And while God was working in the life of Cornelius, He was also working in Peter. And the next day, as they were on their journey near the cedar, Peter, he went up on a housetop to pray. And then while Peter was praying, he became very hungry. And he wanted to eat. And while they were making the lunch ready, Peter saw heaven open up and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners. So imagine with me a stork carrying a baby. And you know how you picture that all the time, and that baby is in the four corners of that big bandana. Well, this was held by four corners of a huge sheet. It was full of animals. It was full of animals. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, bird of the air. And a voice came to Peter in that moment that said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, you and I, we say, "Man, what's the big deal right there?" You just go, "Pete, that ain't no big deal at all. Grab that hog, kill him and bleed him out, cook you up some bacon, get you some gravy, get you some biscuits, and go to town, brother. It's good. Amen. Wonderful." But for Peter, The dietary restrictions that he'd been raised with his entire life caused him to be unable to do that because it was a great dividing line between what the Gentiles were allowed to do and what the Jews were allowed to do. And they saw these dietary restrictions as almost ennobling to them in the fact that they held it over the heads of all the others, and because they were this special group of people, they would hold to these rules, and these rules helped them gain something in the kingdom of heaven, not understanding that Jesus came that we might be set free. And Jesus said, once I've set you free, you are free indeed. Free from any laws, any restrictions, any things that try to hold you back from God. When Jesus gave up His breath there on the cross, when He said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says that it became night in the middle of the day. There was a great earthquake. The dead walked up and walked around Jerusalem. And the temple veil was rent in two from the very top and to the very bottom. And that opened up the Holy of Holies, that all men may walk in regardless of who and what and when and where they were. All men were enabled to come to Christ. And for Peter, this happened three times. And it was an opening, friends. While Peter wondered within himself what that vision was, the men, watch this, please see this. God is working. He's working right now. The men, while Peter was wondering about that vision, the men who Cornelius had sent knocked on the door and they asked for Peter. Friends, that's not coincidence. Christian, stop using the words luck and coincidence. There is not luck. There is not coincidence. It's God's mighty hand. God's working these things out. While Peter was thinking, they come up and told him, Peter, we want you to... Well, there's three men down here. They're asking for you. And they want to talk to you. They shared with him what Cornelius had seen. Peter went with them because it was God's hand in it. When Peter comes into the presence of Cornelius, Cornelius, not knowing what else to do, he fell down and tried to worship Peter. Peter said, no, get up. I'm a man just like you. And then we come to our scripture. Verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. Just a short sermon given by Peter. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth. He wasn't prepared. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just opened his mouth and let me tell you, the Holy Spirit took over. God stepped in. In truth, Peter says, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging upon a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen, see God's hand, chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach to all the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of all the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. What's the formula? They believed on Him and they received remission of sins. Oh friend, listen to me. If you feel it in your heart right now that God is drawing you, I want to celebrate with you the fact that God has chosen you as one of His children. And through that choosing, He's predestined a way that you might spend eternity with Him forever and ever and ever, and never to need to be separated from God in heaven. And so, if God has chosen you, God will give you a prayer. God will give you the ability to follow Him. God will awaken your soul, that you might know that you're a child of God. Tell somebody. Confess it before men. And God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend, will you close with me today in a word of prayer? Father God, I just want to thank you, dear Lord, that all of heaven has been opened up because of what Jesus did. I want to thank you, dear Lord, for your providence. I want to thank you, dear God, for your mighty hand. I want to thank you, dear God, that everything you've put in place is right on time. Lord, I just pray that you might allow us today to lift up your name, that you might be glorified. Thank you today, dear Father. Father, bring us to the place that no matter what may come, no matter what we may face in this life, that we can say with a whole heart, our God is enough. Our God is enough. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.